two scriptures for today's message. The first one comes from John's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 11. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." Our second scripture comes from James, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. "Are there any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What a relief it is when you finally see that sign just ahead, "Hospital next." When you're in need, when you're hurting, when you're suffering. What a relief it is when you finally see that sign just ahead, "Hospital next." Polly mentioned that April 13th is our anniversary. Well, shortly after we were married, I had my first great opportunity to care for my wife. She broke out with a rash all over her body. She was a little bit concerned about what was happening, and I was responsible for caring for her. And I said, "Honey, do you want to go to the hospital?" She says, I think I'm going to be all right." And she got worse. "Honey, do you want me to take you to the hospital?" No, I think I'll be a bit better." She got worse. And then finally, I just took command of the situation, and I'm saying, "We're going to the hospital." Now, in all sincerity, I believe I was kind of more worried and upset than she was, because we got in the car and we were driving and she said, "Honey, where are we going?" I said, "We're going to the hospital." She says, "Yeah, but you're headed to Raleigh. There's a hospital back in Cary where we live." So we finally saw the sign just ahead. "Hospital next exit." And the good news, she was okay. It was probably a food allergy. But I'll never forget that. When you're in need and you see that sign, what a relief it is. The hospital is there. When you have a hurt, when you have an illness, when you're suffering, when something is out of balance in your life, you're not whole, you need help. That's what hospitals are for. I don't know how many of you have taken in the things that are going on now as a result of the new Pope, Pope Francis. He's a wonderful man. I've tried to read a lot of the things that he's written. This is a book called A Big Heart Open to God. Shortly after he became Pope, he was interviewed, and he was asked this question: what does the church need most at this historic moment? Do we need reforms? What are your wishes for the church in the coming years? What kind of church do you dream of? And he goes on and he says, I see clearly that the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. I see the church as a field hospital after battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugars. You have to heal the wounds. Then we can talk about everything else. Heal the wounds. Heal the wounds. And you have to start from the ground up. That is a remarkable vision for the church's purpose and mission in the world today. Now, we all know that the healing ministry began with Jesus. A large part of Jesus' ministry was bringing healing to people. It was a special kind of healing. We call it holistic healing. You think that was a modern term. We hear a lot about holistic medicine, holistic healing. In a way, Jesus had holistic medicine or holistic healing because it was for the body, mind, soul, and spirit. It was for the whole person. And this made sense because the early Hebrew understanding of what it meant to be a person was not to be separated, to have a soul and a body, but it was just to be one. They were both united into one thing. In creation, the first person was incomplete until the physical was united with the breath of God. We are a total person. We are all one. It is together, body, mind, soul, and spirit, all in one. And Jesus ministered to every part of us. In Jesus' healing of the blind man, we know obviously that that was a physical infirmity. To be blind, not to be able to see. We know that that kind of healing was a very special healing. But if you read on in this story, and as you take a look at this particular healing, you can see that it was a holistic healing in many ways. There were some people saying, well, who sinned that this man was born blind? Well, was it his parents, or was it something he did that he's blind? There was a stigma attached to illness. It was associated with sinfulness. And so you can imagine that the man, not only suffered from a physical ailment, namely blindness, but a social stigma. Wherever he went, that's the man that must have done something wrong. There was a social stigma that went with it. As you read on, you'll see that the man was asked many questions. His family was asked many questions about this particular healing. The Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus at that particular time, and they were very insightful about how to go about doing it. They finally asked the man, and he just said, look, all I know is that I was blind, and now I see. Now, in this particular gospel, in this particular context, there's a play on words. All the time in John's gospel, there's a play on words. There are dual meanings. There's the physical level of interpretation and the spiritual level of interpretation. And in John's gospel, there is this contrast between light and dark. There's this contrast between sight and blindness. And what Jesus is saying is that, you know, there is a kind of spiritual blindness. And that was the blindness that the Pharisees had. And so, in a sense, this man, as he comes to be able to see physically, he also comes to understand, and Jesus points out that he is the one from the very beginning who had spiritual sight, though he did not have physical sight. And so the holistic healing ministry of Jesus can even be seen in this particular healing story of the blind man. The social stigma, the physical ailments, the realization that he really could see, declared him to see spiritually, the spiritual healing. The thing about Jesus is that he cared about the whole person. That's why he fed the hungry. That's why he touched the sick. That's why he listened to the outcasts and those who had been estranged from society. That's why he befriended sinners and ate with them. That's why Jesus did what he did. He defined his own ministry based on Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring release to the captives and to set the prisoners free. Jesus understood his ministry to be holistic healing. Now, the Greek word sozo is found about 120 times in the New Testament. It can be translated either to save or to heal or to make whole. So the words healing and salvation both come from the same word, sozo. It's all together. Salvation, healing, being made whole, it's all together, and that's what Jesus offers. I have come that they may have life and life in abundance. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save the lost. But again, go back to sozo. Yes, to save, but also to heal. Yes, but also to make whole. Jesus indeed had a healing ministry that was holistic. And that ministry continues in the church today. It continues in the church today. And we're reclaiming part of that healing ministry now. It's a good thing. According to James, in the early church, if there was anyone who was sick, anyone who was in distress because of a particular ailment, they would have called for the elders. They weren't the specialized people. They weren't the people necessarily with the gift of healing or the gift of extraordinary gift of healing or anything like that. They were just to call for the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church would anoint them with oil. Persons would confess their sins, and the elders, the people of the church, would hear the confession and pronounce forgiveness upon them. And they would anoint with oil. And the healing ministry, the holistic healing of ministry, was continued through the church. And that's why I really love what Pope Francis is talking about. Is that everywhere we look around in the world today, we find brokenness. Going Jesus' way means offering healing and wholeness to persons who are broken. And anointing with oil is just one way that we can go about doing that. Again, there are many ways to help bring healing and wholeness to persons who are broken. But I want to talk about anointing with oil because we're going to do that today. And you're going to be given the opportunity to receive the gift of anointing. Let me talk a little bit about anointing. Anointing with oil, it's a very powerful symbol. Basically, the symbol of oil for us as Christians points us beyond itself, beyond the oil, and beyond the one who anoints, points beyond all that to the anointed one, Jesus, the healer. It's a powerful symbol of the Holy Spirit present with us here and now. It is a symbol that points beyond itself and the one who does the anointing to the anointer, Jesus Christ, whose healing ministry continues through us, the church. Now, we are the caregivers. And Stephen ministry talks about you do not provide the cure. You provide the care. God provides the cure. But we are the caregivers. And so the elders of the church were asked to merely care for persons by anointing them with oil and praying over them. Now, here's what I believe. When we're anointed with oil, given the chance to confess our sins, to name our anxieties and the things that separate us and keep us from having the peace of Christ, when we're able to acknowledge our own brokenness, and when we come before the Lord and we're anointed with oil, we receive something. We receive something. We receive the love of God. Totally. Which we already have, we know. But once those barriers are down, we're able to fully experience that love of God. And here's what I believe. When we truly know how much we are loved, a miracle always takes place. And of course, the greatest miracle that can take place is when the image of God is fully restored within us, which is another way to talk about what salvation is. So really, in a sense, the greatest healing of all is spiritual healing, when there's been separation from God, but yet we are reconciled. But when we know how much we are loved, something always happens. And sometimes it does manifest itself in a physical healing. Sometimes in an emotional healing. We don't provide the cure. We don't provide the healing. What we do is we provide the care. You know, there are a lot of people who just need a touch. Again, this past Saturday, Polly took our dog back to Carolina House of Care, went back to the memory unit, and she again was fascinating about the power of touch. Just in coming alongside some of these elderly people with their memory loss and touching them and allowing them to touch the dog, the pet therapy dog. Just seeing how a simple touch can make a difference in a person's life. It's amazing. And so the elders were to anoint with oil, pray over persons, and provide the opportunity for persons to experience healing and wholeness of life. Now, I want you to think about a couple of things. I want you to think about this. Is there anything in your life that has separated you from God? I want you just to take a moment and in your own mind and in your own heart to acknowledge what that might be. And then I'm going to pray that that separateness will be removed through the pronunciation of forgiveness in Jesus' name. Take a moment. Close your eyes for a moment. Is there anything that has separated you from God? Dear Lord, we confess whatever sins there are that have separated us from you. You have not removed yourself from us, but in many ways we have removed ourselves from you. And now, dear Heavenly Father, as we have confessed our sins in the name of Jesus Christ, I pronounce and I say forgiveness over everyone who has confessed. There is no more chasm between you and God. And now, with your eyes still closed, I want you to think about, are there any relationships that are broken? Or are there any estrangements between you and other persons? Perhaps that can't be made perfect right now, but you can acknowledge it, you can confess it, and you can receive the gift that God wants to give you. Scriptures say that insofar as possible, be at peace with all persons. Dear Lord, we seek to be at peace with our neighbor. We seek to be at peace with all persons insofar as possible. We acknowledge our brokenness in relationships, and we ask that you would heal us. And insofar as possible, to bring forth reconciliation in those relationships when possible. And then, Lord, we also know this. We have some anxieties in our life that have robbed us of our peace. The peace, the shalom that you want us to have as your children. There's those worries that we have. There's those things, Lord, that take us away from fully experiencing your peace, presence, and joy. And we would name those anxieties right now. And as we name those anxieties, Lord, and as the scriptures say, hand them over to you, casting all our cares and anxieties upon you. May we know that you care for us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, may we now be made whole. Anxiety no longer being the Lord of our life, but only Jesus, the healer, the bringer of peace and wholeness. Now I want you to think about, is there any physical ailment that you have that is keeping you from wholeness of life? Dear Lord, we pray right now for your healing to be at work within our physical bodies. Lord, you made us a physical unity. And we believe, dear Heavenly Father, that as vessels of your Holy Spirit, you would desire us to be whole in body, as well as mind and spirit. So we would ask that we would bring before you our physical ailments and our needs. And dear Lord, in your name, I pronounce your healing and wholeness over each and every person. And now, Lord, we know that there are those hurts that we still carry in our heart. Hurts maybe that have been caused by other people. We also know that there are hurts that we have not let go of because, well, we seek to carry thoughts of harboring resentment. We would desire, Lord, to be able to let those things go. Dear Lord, there are sometimes deep wounds in our life. Deep wounds that other people don't know about. Wounds of abuse. Wounds, Lord, that have caused us shame. Wounds, Lord, that sometimes keep us even from looking at ourselves in the mirror because we know that these things are part of us and they have a hold on us. But dear Lord, it is your desire that these things be released. You put your hand upon our wounds, and we see that you took our wounds upon yourself, and through your stripes we are made well. Indeed, you have already borne our shame. You have borne our guilt. You have borne our hurt. You have borne everything. Through that cross, you turn now to give us health and wholeness of life. Dear Lord, we seek to be a body here in this place that is healed and made whole, so that when we go forth from this place, we may be instruments of your healing and wholeness to others. Oh Lord, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit and love the world through us. Help us to take our hands and to place them on the wounds of others, and in your name to bring that love to bear that brings the miracles. Dear Lord, we thank you that it is not us, but it is you who works through. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have literally seen peace come over a person because of a sacrament. Now, anointing with oil is not a sacrament. It is sacramental. I remember one time I was called to the hospital. A member of our church was dying. It wasn't his dying that was the problem. The problem was that he never felt that he was worthy of God's love. Never. He never told me the reason for that. It's just something that was a part of him. And so when I came to the hospital that night, I knew that he had never been baptized before because he didn't feel like he was worthy enough to be baptized. And I merely got out the scriptures and I began to read to him. The Lord is merciful and gracious. That's who he is. He is a good and gracious Heavenly Father who seeks to give good gifts to His children. And it's not because of who we are or what we have done, but because of who He is and what He has done in Jesus that we can receive the gift that He wants us to have. So I said, do you know that right here and now, even though you're in the process of dying, this could be your greatest moment. You could be made whole. You could be released from fear and bondage and guilt and shame and whatever it is. And he looked at me and he said, can I still be baptized? I said, yes. The nurse heard it. She ran and got a little cup, had some water in it. I happened to have my little ritual book with me. And I baptized that man. And when I got through, he looked at me as a man who had been made whole and was at peace. The Hebrews call that word shalom. Shalom. To be in harmony with oneself, to be at harmony with one's God, to be in harmony with one's neighbor, to know that it is well with my soul. It is okay. I may be dying, but I'm whole. I have shalom. I have peace. I have seen that. And I have experienced that. And now I would like to offer you to have the opportunity to receive the gift too. However you need healing and wholeness in your life. Now I'm going to call Lyndon up here to because I'm going to actually anoint her first. We have already anointed the CFX band and those back here. Now, normally, you should never volunteer to be the first or last person in any medical experiment. These persons have already survived the anointing, okay? So you're going to be okay. Linda, they survived the anointing. Come on up here. There's many different ways that you can anoint, but the way I'm going to anoint right now is just simple. I'm going to say over her, Linda, and I anoint you with the oil of gladness in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, here's what it says. He gives the oil of gladness in exchange for our mourning and sorrow. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Gladness for whatever sorrow you may have. Linda, I anoint you with the oil of gladness in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I form the shape of a cross on her forehead with my thumb. It's just a simple procedure. We're going to have four stations. Suzanne Gordon and Polly will be over here. Susan Presser and I will be over here. You'll, much like communion, come down the middle aisle and then go to the station that's on your side. There'll be two to choose from, so just if one's available, go to that. You don't have to wait on just one station. Go to whichever one is open, and then return on the side that you're seated upon. All persons are welcome. We'll start with those in the back. And let me just say this. As the music is being played, I want you to listen to the words. The song is Healing Grace. That's what it's about. God doing for us what we're not able to do for ourselves. Let us all stand, and we'll begin with those in the back.